All right, well, welcome to Element. My name is Stephen Morris. I'm the student pastor here, if we've never met before, and I'm very, very glad that you guys are here this morning. But I'm much more than just Stephen. I'm much more than the student pastor here. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a friend. I'm a dog owner, right? There's a lot of different things about me that I am that maybe I don't talk about all the time, and I'm just curious. I want to get you guys thinking a little bit this morning as well about what you are. Right? What you are. You might say you're a student, you might say you're an athlete, you might say that you are a musician, whatever. I just want to hear from a few of you guys about what you are. Alex here, he's got a microphone, he's going to walk around, and we need a few people to have the courage this morning to just say to the room what they are. Now, of course, Alec is going to ask you to tell him before you say it to the microphone, but we just want to know what you guys are this morning. So, Alex, stand up, look around, somebody. If nobody raises their hand, go ahead and put one of our older students on the spot. That's fine. We're good with that here.
I am an Air Force Junior ROTC cadet.
ROTC
Very nice.
Cadet.
Air Force ROTC. Good
That's
work.
That's really cool.
All right. We're ROTC cadet. I love
okay.
it.
I am a track runner.
A track runner.
Track
okay.
star,
Very
baby.
Nice. I bet you're faster than me.
Anybody over
Just
here?
Just barely, though.
There's somebody. Hold on.
Alex, a track star, too. See him run?
I'm a brother of two.
A brother? Is that
a
what
brother.
I
He's
Very
a brother.
Nice. Okay, good.
He has brothers.
Very nice. Good. All right, Alex, give us two more real quick.
Dos más.
I am awesome.
You are awesome.
Whoa.
I
and
love
very
that.
Humble,
I agree.
Too.
You are awesome. Good work.
I'm an artist.
An artist. Very nice. All right, so this is why we did this, right? This is what I want you to think. We a lot of times, we sort of describe ourselves and we put labels on ourselves. Even if you didn't raise your hand, you probably thought, I'm this or I'm that or I'm a businessman or I'm an accountant or I'm a doctor or maybe I'm a student, maybe I'm an athlete, maybe I'm a runner, whatever, right? We sort of put these labels on ourselves and we answer the question a lot of times without anybody even asking us. But I want to encourage you with this and remind you that Jesus answered that question for anyone who is his follower in the Sermon on the Mount. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 16. And as you're turning, I want to remind you and let you know this, that Jesus answers that question in a way that not only reminds us or his followers who we are, but he also reminds us about the world and the people that are living around us. So Jesus answers it in an incredibly powerful way that is so, so important for us to grasp and to understand this morning. Now that you've got your Bibles open, I want to pray for our time together before we get into God's Word, and then we're going to look at these three or four verses together this morning. Let's pray together. God, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your Word. God, we thank you that it is true, and we thank you that it is clear. And God, this morning I pray that you would help us to understand who you have made us to be. God, I pray that you would help us to understand what we are as your followers. And God, I pray that we would live our lives in response to what you have made us to be. And guys, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want you to take a second. I want you to commit this time to the Lord. Right? So you can pray whatever you want. Maybe you pray something like this. God, help me to understand your truth this morning. God, help me to leave, right, knowing more about you this morning. However you want to pray, take a second and ask God to work on your heart this morning. God, we love you and ask that you would move in each of us today. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13, it says this, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. But they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone that's in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. There's three things that I want to make sure we get from God's word this morning as we look at it together. And the first is this. It's a very, very simple concept that I think we miss sometimes. The first is this. It's you are, right? You are. Jesus looked at his followers. He looked at his disciples. He looked at that crowd that followed him to that mountain. And he looked at them and he said, you are. So if you're a follower of Jesus, if you have said yes to him, if you've placed your faith and your trust in him as we read this passage, please note, please understand that Jesus is saying you are. He's not saying one day when you get older, you will become. Right? He's not saying the longer you walk with me, I'm going to turn you into this. He's not saying with a lot of practice, you could be this one day. Jesus is giving us a statement of fact. He's saying you are. This is not a promise of what's going to be one day. This is the current reality, and that is you are. Right? Followers of Jesus are. We are. We are what? Right? What are we as followers of Jesus? He gives us two things here. Look at verse 13. Looking at his followers, so if you have said yes to Jesus, if you're in a relationship with him, this is you. This is a description of you and what Jesus has made you to be. Verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. Right? You're the salt of the earth. And remember, right, he's not asking them to turn into salt or to one day saying that they could become salt. Jesus is stating that his followers both then and now are the salt of the earth. So if you are following after Jesus, you are the salt of the earth. Now please note, all right, and this is a very important distinction. I think there could be a little bit of confusion here, and I don't want you to miss this. Everybody look up here. When Jesus is calling his followers salt, it's not the same as when you call your friend salty, all right? That is a totally different concept and a totally different thing. Brooke laughed at me when I told her about this morning, right? It's a totally different thing. It has a totally different meaning. I used that word on Chelsea a few weeks ago at our house, and I called her salty for some reason. I don't remember why. And she looked at me so confused. She's like, what in the world? Like, am I sweaty or did I spill on myself? What do you mean I'm salty? And then we sat around and realized how much we don't know and sort of laughed at each other about that. But that's okay, and it doesn't matter if we know that because that's not what Jesus is talking about. Please know that when you said yes to him, when you step into a relationship with him, that he has made you into the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. So if that's what we are, let's think about what salt does. Let's think about the purpose of salt. Let's think about why someone would use salt. Here's four quick things, and we'll discuss them together. One of the things that salt does is salt brings flavor, right? Salt brings flavor. It brings things to life. It brings meat or food or whatever it is to life. If you have food that you're eating, it doesn't taste very good. What do? You put salt on it. When you go to Papacitos or Gringos or whatever and they put chips in front of you, what do? You put salt on it. Some people put way too much salt on it, but they do it because it brings flavors. The salt of the earth, when we step out into the world around us, guys, we should bring flavor. We should bring joy. We should bring a level of excitement and joy that doesn't come from anyone else, right? Jesus said, I've come that you can have life and have it to the fullest. Guys, we experience full life, a joyful life in Jesus. And as we go out into the world, guys, we bring joy into the world. Guys, salt also prevents rot, okay? It preserves. It helps things to stay good. Back when Jesus was teaching this to the people that were hearing it for the first time in the Sermon on the Mount, they didn't have a refrigerator. They didn't have freezers. They didn't have ways to preserve food. So salt is what they used to do that. And salt would prevent decay. Salt would prevent rot. Salt would keep things preserved. When we step out into the world, we have a chance to bring a sense of purity with us. Right? David said, how can we keep our way pure? By living according to the word of God. As we, the salt of the earth, lives according to the word of God, we have a chance to preserve the people and the culture around us, right? Salt also, I didn't know this until I was researching this week because we have come a long way in the last couple thousand years, but salt, at the time that Jesus was teaching this, salt had medicinal qualities to it, and people would use salt for different healing kinds of properties, for wounds and other things. They would use the salt that they had to bring about a sense of healing. So as we're the salt of the earth, as we leave this body of believers and as we spread out on the earth, we have a chance to take with us healing that can come only from Jesus. There's this really cool passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul talks about all the bad things that have happened to him and all the trials, all the hardships, all the tough times that he's faced, right? So thinking about Paul, don't you just press pause. Think about your tough times. Think about your trials. Think about your hardships, the times when you've been broken, and the times that God has brought restoration, that healing that Jesus has brought to us, that only Jesus can bring to us. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that God loved him through that so that he could go love and invest in others the way that God loved on him. And guys, as the salt of the earth, we have the opportunity to do the same thing. We have the opportunity to go love people and to care for people the way that Jesus has cared for us, right? And hopefully bring about a sense of spiritual healing in their lives as they're pointed back to Jesus. And then finally, guys, salt does something else. Salt creates thirst, right? Salt creates thirst. When I'm eating sunflower seeds, I have to have a bottle of water because I get thirsty, right? The salt makes me thirsty. And I need something to quench that thirst. Guys, when we step out into the world, hopefully we're living in such a way that the people around us see us and are thirsty for what we have. Hopefully we live in such a way that they need to experience Jesus because of the way that we interact with them on a daily basis. So know this, right? You are not becoming this if you're a follower of Jesus. You are this, right? You are the salt of the earth. And as salt in the world, guys, you bring joy that comes with knowing Jesus. You preserve the people around you. You bring healing and you make people thirsty for Jesus and for Jesus alone. So guys, we are, when we say yes to Jesus, the salt of the earth. But keep reading, by the way, verse 13, because there's a warning here. Look at verse 13 again. It says, "But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall the saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." Listen, if the salt is no longer good, it's essentially useless, right? He's saying here, don't be useless, right? The salt that people had back then, as Jesus was teaching, it wasn't like ours, and it had a chance to be impure by the way that people would mind it. Now, our salt, this salt, will always taste like salt, and that won't change. But that wasn't true in Jesus' day, right? That salt could get polluted. That salt could get impure. That salt could allow things to mix in with that salt that would cause the salt to lose its flavor, that would cause the salt to lose its ability to do what salt could do. Essentially, listen to this, things from the world would get into and mixed in with the salt, allowing the salt to change, allowing the salt to take a little bit different form and no longer be able to do what the salt was supposed to do. Things would get in here. So as Jesus is saying this, he's saying basically this to his followers, to the salt of the earth, stay pure. Jesus is saying stay pure. Don't allow sins into your life to mix up with who God's created you to be, to bring you to a point of being useless. He's saying don't allow habits, don't allow busyness, don't allow any outside influences to come into you and make you into something that God never intended for you to be. Stay pure before God, right? Stay pure. And here's the last thing I want to mention about salt, right? Salt, amazing qualities, right? Can do incredible things, all good things. But we never experience that if the salt stays in the shaker. Does that make sense? If you go and you've got your chips in front of you at the table or your food in front of you at the table and they need flavor, they need salt or whatever, the salt is doing no good in the shaker. Guys, it's got to shake out, All right? So as you are the salt of the earth, you have got to shake and get out on the world, right? You can't live in hiding. You can't stay away from people. You've got to shake, right? You've got to get out there. You've got to let people taste and experience the salt of the earth. You see how it's different than letting things get in here? Right? We don't let things get in here. We don't let things come in and take over or control our heart. But instead, we spread ourselves out on the world to point people to Jesus. We are the salt of the earth, right? So be salty and shake out on the people around you, right? Allow yourself to be poured out on your school. Allow yourself to be poured out in your classes. Allow yourself to be poured out in your neighborhood, in your office, in your meetings. Allow yourself to be poured out at the places that you shop, the places that you eat, the parks that you go to, your neighborhood, whatever. Allow yourself to be poured out on to people, right? To point them to Jesus. Connect with people. Allow God to work through you in the world around you. So you, I, me, we, followers of Jesus, are salt. Right? But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on and he gives us another illustration to help us understand not who we could be one day. He gives us another illustration to help us understand who we are created to be when he comes into our life. Look at verse 14. Second thing we are is light. He says, you are the light of the world, right? A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people put a lamp and put it under a basket, but instead they put it on a stand and it gives light to the entire house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Listen, there's an implication here that we can't miss, right? Those of us that are the light, okay, and I just need you to discern and think about real quick, if you are light, right? Are you in a relationship with Jesus? Has he forgiven your sins? Have you trusted in him? Because if your answer to that is yes, and I hope and pray that it is, if your answer to that is yes, then you are light. You're not going to be light one day. You're not going to grow into light when you're your parents' age or when you're high school or college. You are the light of the world. We didn't stumble into that. Jesus made us into that. But that should also remind us this, that a lot of people are walking around in the darkness, that a lot of people that haven't said yes to Jesus at this point in their life are in the darkness and are separated from the Father because they do not yet know Jesus. There's a lot of people in this world that are in the dark. Now, and you are the light to that darkness. We are the light to that darkness. And you can't do anything to be hidden, right? You can't do different things to allow people not to notice you. You're just going to be on display as you are walking around. Look at the second half of verse 14. It says this, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. What do you think that means? A city on a hill can't be hidden, right? Don't overthink it. It just means if there's a big city on a hill, you're going to see it, right? You're not going to be able to walk past it and not notice it. You're not going to be able to walk past it and ignore it. If there's a huge city on a hill, you're going to see that city on a hill. The same is true of us. If we are the light of the world, people can't walk past us without noticing that we are, in fact, the light of the world. Guys, followers of Jesus can't be hidden among the world. People are going to see us, so don't try to hide. Verse 15 says it would be silly to have a light and to cover it up. Instead, when you have a light in your house, you put it on display so that it gives light to the people that come in to your house. Right? We position our lights strategically to show the way. That is the same as true of you. The same is true of me. If you're the light of the world, then God's got you right where he wants you to shine his light for the people that are there, right? You're in the family that you're in for a purpose. The school that you go to, that's for God's purpose. The teams that you're on, the classes that you're in, even if you don't have the teachers that you want to have, if you don't have the lunch that you want to have, if you didn't get to move to the new office that you wanted to move to, whatever, God has you where you are for a purpose. He's positioned you to be a light and to shine where he has placed you, right? When you bring a light to the darkness, it's a powerful, powerful thing, right? I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to think about what darkness is. All right, think about what darkness is. In fact, Timmy, let us just make it dark for us. I want you guys to think about what darkness actually is. Right? Darkness doesn't move forward. Darkness doesn't advance against the light. Right? You can't turn on the darkness. That's not a thing. Right? Darkness is simply, right, the absence of light. It doesn't move forward. But listen, all right, when one light shines into the darkness, all right, you can begin to see things that weren't there before. Right? When one light is sent into a dark place, here you're covering your eyes, right? The light's bright. When one light goes into a dark place, people can begin to see the way. People can begin to see what they need to see and where they need to go. So if you're the only person that you feel like is a Christian in your school, or the only person on your team, don't hide your light. Allow your light to shine. Allow people to see God's truth because of the way that you live your life. And the light that you bring will start to push through the darkness. But here's the cool thing, all right? Every eye up here, I want you to think about this. You see me now? I want you to think about this. Right? Most of the time, you're not the only light where you go. Right? Most of the time, there's other believers that go with you. So if you got a phone with a light on it, just turn it on real quick. Right? What kind of light can we create, right, if there's more than one light going into a dark space? All right, everybody listen up. All right, calm down. Keep your lights on. Look up here. I want you to think about this. All right, every eye up here, I want you to think about this. It's impossible to be in this room right now and not see the light. It's impossible to be in this room right now and miss a light that's being held up. Right? Wherever you go, whatever you do, remember and realize that you are, not you will be, but that you are the light of the world. God has positioned you. God has placed you where He has placed you to bring light to a dark world. And when I say a dark world, please know that I'm saying God has sent you to bring light to people that do not know Him and that apart from knowing Him will be destined to spend eternity separated from Him. Guys, we are the light of the world. We have the responsibility to let Jesus shine through us to point and turn hearts to Him. Guys, we are the light of the world. Timmy, give us some light. You guys, do me a favor, put those phones up. Guys, we are the light of the world. We can't be hidden. Wherever we go, we're going to shine. Wherever we go, people are going to notice who we are. And more importantly, they're going to notice who Jesus is. Guys, light makes a huge impact in the world around us. So how can you be a light? How can you be a light to the people of this world? Here's four or five things real quick that I want to share with you that you can do to be a light. And the first is very simple, right? Love people. Smile at people. Be friendly, right? There's a lot of people that just walk around grumpy and cranky and mean. Don't be that person, right? Be a light. Smile. Engage people. Talk to people and love the people around you. Here's another great thing you can do to be a light in a dark world. As you are loving people, tell them about Jesus. Right? There's nothing more loving than you can do than to tell somebody about Jesus. Be a light, love people, and tell them about Jesus. Shine and point people to Christ. And here's something else, real quick. I want you to think about this. Here's a way that you can shine. Here's a way that you can stand out and point people to Jesus where you have a ton of influence that oftentimes we don't think about. And that's through this. And I won't talk about this long, but think about the influence that this room of 600 or so people has on social media. Right? Think about the opportunity that you have to make an influence. And unfortunately, I think that this happens far too often. I think, and don't be offended, this is me too, I think that a lot of times we cover up the light that we might have when it comes to the influence that we can have on social media. And we post a lot of different things, or we complain about a lot of different things, or we get excited about a lot of different things. And a lot of times absent, meaning not present, in any of our posts or comments or whatever, is any mention of our relationship with the Father, is any mention of what it means to know and to follow after Jesus. That's an incredible place, an incredible platform to let your light shine and to point people to Jesus. So when you leave life groups today, post something that you learned in life groups. If you're excited about what God's doing in your life, let people see that. Let people know that. Let people see and know about the most important thing in your life, in an area where you've got the opportunity to make a huge difference and a huge impact, right? And then the last thing is this way that you can shine. I want you just to invest in people, right? So here's two people that I want you to invest in. When you guys go out to eat today, right, I want you to pray for whoever gives you your food, right? But not just pray for them. I want you to ask them how you can pray for them. If it's a waiter, say, hey, we're about to pray for our food. I'd love to pray for you today. How can I pray for you? Step out and invest in them. If you go through a drive-thru and they put it through the drive-thru, say, hey, when I get home, I'm going to pray. How can I pray for you today? If you're sitting on the couch watching football and your mom makes your lunch and brings it to you and sets it down in front of you, say, hey, mom, how can I pray for you today? Invest in people and pray in them. And the other person I want you to invest in is this, right? When we leave, right, not now, when we leave, I'm going to ask you to get your phones out one more time. And I'm going to ask you to find a friend that you don't think is at church anywhere this morning. And I'm going to ask you to have the courage to text them, just a simple text message to say, hey, I want to pray for you today. How can I pray for you? A simple way to let your light shine, to point people to Jesus. And that's what God's word says. Look at verse 16 as we wrap up. Let your light shine so that they may see your good works and give glory to who? What's your Bible say? Give glory to who? God. Give glory to your Father. Not give glory to me, not give glory to you, but to give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This simply says this: when we are who God made us to be, people are going to notice, and God's going to get the glory. When we are who God made us to be, God is going to work in their hearts, point them to himself, and God is going to get the glory. Be salt. Be light. Be who God made you to be. And as you are, you're going to bring a lot of people in this world out of the darkness and into an incredible, eternal relationship with Jesus. Be salt. Be light. Shake. Shine. Let the world around you be pointed to Jesus and to his glory and his glory alone. All right, if you would bow your heads, I want to pray for you. And guys, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want you to think about who God has made his followers to be. Right? I want you to think about what God has made his followers to be. This isn't a one-day thing. This isn't a when-I-get-older kind of situation. This isn't when I'm my parents' age. This isn't when I'm an adult and maybe teaching a life group class. This isn't when I go to college or high school or whatever. This is who God made his followers to be. This is God, who God said we are when we trust in him. You are salt. You are light. So this morning, I want you guys to think about that. As salt, are you allowing yourself to be poured out in the world around you to make a difference? Or have you allowed things into your heart to make your salt lose its saltiness? Or have you allowed things or sins or habits into your life where you would say you might be impure? If that's the case, confess it. Ask God to forgive it. Ask God to help you to be the salt that he's already made you to be. Same thing in that passage where he says we're the light of the world, so don't cover the light up. If you're the light of the world, right, and you've been doing things to hide that, you've been doing things so that people might not know or see or talk about your relationship with Christ, guys, I want to encourage you to stand up and shine wherever God's placed you to point people to Jesus.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.